deep breath, centering himself. A Jedi couldn't lose focus. Not when that would endanger him, his mission partner, and everyone counting on them. Finally, he nodded and checked his sensor display. Nothing.
Our sensors are as blind as I am, Ben said. This would be a lot easier if we could go active.
Tahiri's voice turned mocking.
You think?
She asked.
Fighting a close-quarters pirate assault would be easier than dodging a few asteroids?
Well, it would be faster, Ben said, shrugging. And more satisfying.
A shadow appeared to starboard, a nugget of darkness that rapidly began to swell as it tumbled through the foggy luminescence. Ben eased off the thrusters and watched as the nugget became a boulder, and the boulder a monolith. He would have felt a lot more confident of being able to avoid trouble had he been using the Mytari's ion drives rather than its maneuvering thrusters. But even through the plasma cloud, the drives would light up the sensor arrays of anyone lurking in ambush. Finally, their R9 astromech droid, Ninette, tweeted an alert and displayed the asteroid's projected course on the navigation screen. Ben came to a dead stop, then watched in awe as a 3-kilometer mass of pure dark nickel iron tumbled across their travel vector. Almost immediately, the hair on his arms stood on end. He double-checked the asteroid's projected course on the navigation screen. Seeing no indication that Ninette had misjudged either its size or course, he scanned the plasma cloud for more shadows. He saw none, but the hair on his arms started to prickle. He glanced over at Tahiri and found her staring out the forward canopy, her expression blank and distant.
"You feel that?" he asked.
Her gaze dropped toward the deck, and she nodded.
"Coming up under us!"
Ben fired the thrusters again and rolled the Mytari 90 degrees up on its side, then cringed when he saw a ball of speeder-sized deryllium crystals whirling up beneath them. He slid the power glides forward and pulled the yoke back, and the scout boat slid forward, the nickel-iron asteroid now seeming to drop away beneath its belly. They had barely cleared the asteroid before an irregular circle of shadow appeared ahead and began to swell in their forward canopy. Ninette chirped a navigation alert, and Ben looked down to discover that they were now traveling directly toward Ohali Sarak's distress signal. It was impossible to tell whether the source of the signal was floating free or coming from the surface of an asteroid, but the signal was growing rapidly stronger. Ben brought the Mytari to a dead stop, then said,
"I think we found the crash site."
"What makes you think Jedi Sarak crashed, Ben?"
"Sorry," Ben said,
realizing he was speaking as though they were responding to a mere accident.
"It appears we found the source of the distress signal."
Tahiri nodded.
"That much I agree with," she said. "Let's see if anyone else is here."
Ben checked the sensor display just long enough to identify the drifting masses of half a dozen nearby asteroids, then carefully began to extend his force awareness to the surrounding area. He kept expecting to feel a sudden prickle of danger sense racing down his spine. He and Tahiri had been searching for Ohali Sarak for weeks without finding any hint of her or her Stealth X, so it seemed very suspicious to have the signal activate just after they had sent a message to the Jedi Council reporting their decision to break off the search and go to Sarnis. Ben was far from surprised to feel the dim, hungry presences of a dozen hunters waiting patiently for their prey to arrive, and apparently unaware that their prey was now stalking them. He reached out more strongly in the Force, taking careful note of the position and mood of each of the presences that he felt. After a minute, Ben said,
"I have 3 groups of 4 beings, arranged at 75, 180, and 290 degrees, surrounding the distress beacon."
"Same here," Tahiri said. "It feels like they're in 2-seat fighters, 2 craft at each spot, just waiting for someone to respond to Ohali's distress signal."